remain in the Lord. The good Monsignor Joseph Clifford Fenton said that the church in the New Testament was essentially a group of people who had a personal invitation from Christ. As Christ says, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. A group of people with this personal invitation who then surrounded our Lord, who learned from him, who were healed by him, and whom he loved and conferred grace upon. In the age of the church remains the same thing. It is a group of people who have been called by Christ to faith and to baptism, who then dwell in the presence of the Lord, who are instructed by the Lord, who are nourished by the Lord, who receive forgiveness from the Lord, and upon whom the Lord pours out his grace. And so our job as Christians is to remain in Christ. And if we do so, then we will bear much fruit. Not necessarily worldly success, our Lord never cares about that, but the virtue and holiness and ultimately the fruit of eternal life. And so to remain in Christ, there are some things which we must avoid, and then there are spiritual practices which we must cultivate. And above all, what we must avoid is sin, because sin is what divides us from God. It is what cuts us off from the true vine. And so we have to uproot sin from our lives, which ultimately means we have to avoid the occasions and the causes of sin in our lives. When I look back upon my own life, in the lives of those whom I am familiar with, the main reason why we often do not rid ourselves of sin is because we do not take the means necessary. If sin gets very rooted into our lives, we have to take great means to get rid of it. And above all, we have to avoid those occasions and those causes of sin, those relationships, those devices, those habits which lead to sin. If we simply remove from our lives the causes of sin, then sin naturally will also be removed. And then we have to cultivate certain spiritual practices to remain always in communion with Christ. First and foremost, frequent confession. In confession, we are washed clean of those sins which divide us from Christ, and we are once again regrafted onto the vine so that we may receive the grace, namely the love and mercy and sanctifying grace of Christ. We must also pray, as Paul says, pray without ceasing, because when we pray, we lift our mind and our heart to God, and so we remain united to him spiritually. Our minds remain united to God, and our hearts remain bound to God in prayer. We also have to inculcate silence in our life. As Elijah heard the voice of God in the silence of a cave, so we hear the voice of God in silence. The distractions of the world tend to spread us too thin, and we forget about our beloved, and we fall out of communion with God. And so we have to clean our lives up in terms of noise, remove the noise from our lives. We also must engage in spiritual reading. The more we pray, the more we spend time in prayer, the more we recognize our need for spiritual reading. Spiritual reading feeds our prayer. It gives us something to ponder, to meditate, and it excites within us devotion. So reading the lives of the saints, sacred scripture, and the spiritual works as well. And finally, we must partake as much as we are able in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. When Christ is present upon the altar, truly then we see the church in its fullest form, us gathered around Christ, partaking in that heavenly worship. So by removing from our lives the things which prevent us from being united to Christ, from cultivating the spiritual practices which cause us to remain joined to Christ, we remain always in him, and we bear much fruit, sanctity and good works in this life, and ultimately eternal glory in the next.